What you think all this pain is only a shadow. Pain has a face. Allow me to show it to you.
Well, here it is, episode 41 of Sean Hammer. Hope you liked the intro. It took me a bit to put that together, but it was fun. Yes, indeed. Today we're going to be going over, well, from the intro, you could tell it's probably in the picture on the website. It's more Dark Eldar, of course, but we're not going to focus on the witches and the fast shit, basically. We're just going to focus, really what I think is the unsung hero of the new Dark Eldar book that people are not actually, experiencing the full potential just because the models aren't out yet. And he's not as sexy as the witches and Lilith. And we're also going to be going over the ETC, the composition for the new ETC for Warhammer. I've gone over the ETC for Warhammer and Warhammer 40K. I got a little issues with both. I'm not going to go over the 40K today. It's a little bit more understandable than the one for the Warhammer, and I'm going to express my reasons why. So we'll get to that, and let's go ahead and just talk about what I've been doing lately. I'd like to say happy holidays for everyone who just not suffered, but experienced Thanksgiving or such, and some time off of work. And my Warhammering, I guess so to speak, has been pretty cool. I've working on my 1,500-point Space Wolf army. I actually did a little painting and assembling, and I think it's going to work out well. I'll put a picture of my just painted the first the model about how, you know, I always paint one model based, especially when I'm doing a whole army that's going to be all the same color scheme and stuff. I am going to paint him up. I'll put him on my Flickr file on the website. So you guys can check it out. Let me know what you think. I bought a box of Hellions and Lilith Hesperax. I assembled the Hellions, and they're super sexy. I plan on using them and some Harlequins that I'm going to be picking up soon for basically not really quite a Dark Eldar army yet, but definitely for kill zones, I wish to play the Dark Eldar. I like the Harlequins. I like the way the new Hellions look. This army has a high resemblance of the old 1980s movie He-Man or Masters of the Universe. For all of you who know, you'll see it. You know, they got the Skyboard Riders, they got things Skeletor's riding on, looks like the Ravenger, whatever the hell it is. And, it's a big resemblance, and I like it. As gay as it may be, I like the movie, and so there we go. That's about it for my Warhammer. I did play a game. We'll get into that in just a moment. I've been playing ass loads of HeroClix. I've been enjoying it. I don't know why. I just have. Buttload of Blood Bowl on the PSP. Haven't quite won a season yet, but having fun, actually. And it's a fun game. It's not too expensive to pick up, and it is for the computer, too. It's not too bad. I'll pick it up. And that will lead us into some special guests I have coming up. I have Chance and Polly from the Three Die Block podcast coming up from their Pseudo Radio Productions. I'll go ahead and link to that in today's show, and I'll have them on soon. We'll talk some more Blood Bowl. And it's pretty relevant, even for the video game, what they have to say, because the video game plays exactly like the board game, more or less, without miniatures, of course. But their tips and tricks, actually, for the races available on the video game have helped me through their podcast, and it's actually got me kind of ready to go into playing Blood Bowl. I'm kind of talking to a couple guys at the local hobby store, and maybe start a small Blood Bowl league. I'm going to use my old Gwar Rumble and Antarctica figures as my first Blood Bowl team. After that, I'm going to do some Nuns, use them as Amazons. I'm going to the Gwar team's actually going to be Chaos, and they're all painted already, and I don't play Gwar Rumble in Antarctica. I just wanted the models, and I thought I'd play into it, but I didn't. So I'll put those up there too. And for those who are checking my site out, you'll notice a picture of what is presumably a model of the new Stormraven gunship. Supposedly this model picture leaked out, wasn't supposed to come out, whatever, I don't know. But there it is, top banner. I'll put a better picture of it in the show notes here so you can check it out. That'll be what the new Stormraven gunship looks like. Don't know how I feel about it. I don't hate it. I don't love it. But it is what it is. That's the Games Workshop model, and if you don't like it, don't buy it. Simple as that. I would wish they put out models for everything, a.k.a. the beautiful Space Wolves that I've got from Wargamma. I'm actually working on. The one I didn't think I liked so much, he's got a helmet on. He actually is my favorite so far. And I have those up there pretty soon for everyone to check out. And let's get into my game that I played of Warhammer 40K. Well, I played against a friend of mine, Brian. He played 1,000 Point Tau. I played 1,000 Point of Space Wolves. We played on 4x4 battlefield. A little bit of terrain, a couple bunkers, a building, and some ruins. Nothing too extravagant. He ended up taking a Hammerhead, a small crisis team unit with his... I can't even pronounce the leader, but you get the drift. He's in there. He took a small unit of three... the stealth suits, a full unit of croup, full unit of fire warriors, a devilfish, and I want to say that's about it. Now, he had everything tooled up and everything, and he actually won this army at a Games Workshop tournament. He played $20, won a fully painted army, so congratulations, Brian, but not congratulations to what's going to happen next. After that, well, I played... two units of Grey Hunters. I ended up taking the two plasma guns, 10-man units, two plasma guns, one power fist, and each I took unit of three Thunder Wolves. Let's see if I can't find my list, but I think I can remember what I put on them. One had a plasma pistol, close combat weapon, meltabombs. The other one had a Thunderhammer storm shield, meltabombs. Don't know why I threw the melted bombs on the guy with the storm shield, but I did. Paid the point, so I played it. And where is the other one? He's got a close combat weapon, plasma pistol, melted bombs. So that was my Thunder Wolf unit. So I had two units of Grey Hunters, unit of Thunder Wolves, a unit of five Scouts, which, in theory, Scouts could be devastating, but they... We'll get to that. Five Scouts, two plasma pistols, simple as that. Melted bombs, of course. Everything's going to melt the bombs because I didn't take any long-range support in this army list. And I ran with Nijal Stormcaller. Not putting them in the Terminator armor. Even though the model is beautiful, and that's what he's modeled with on my table here. But that's what I took. Well, first turn went, Brian rolled for, so you went first, and, well, he got it. Came out for some odd reason, he had his fire warriors and his double fist, dropped them off in a bunker, limited their shots, and shot with the, devil fish, eradicating about four space wolves on my left flank. He moved up his croup, shot with his hammerhead, failed epically. And shot with a Shazu or whatever. Like I said, I'm going to butcher it. But he didn't fare too well there. I made my saves because he shot against the Thunder Wolves. I was in cover. Plus, I put the wounds towards the Thunder Wolf with the Storm Shield and got the 3 plus invulnerable. So I saved those. And that's about all he did on the first turn. My first turn, I moved up both units of Grey Hunters, the one on the middle and the one on the left flank. They moved up their full amount that they could do. I did not get a shot on the middle unit, but he did move his Devilfish on my left flank to cover his Fire Warriors, which led to the demise of the Devilfish because I cracked the side armor with a plasma gun. Just barely enough range. I had, I think it was 11 and an eighth inch to shoot. So I cracked a double fish and actually got six. Well, not six, five. So it exploded. My space force in the middle, my didn't do much but moved up, trying to get in position. Najal Stormcaller moved up, of course. He did his whole psychic wind thing at the beginning of turn and made an 18-inch radius or 24-inch radius around him. If any jump infantry moved, they were considered to be moving into dangerous and difficult terrain. That was pretty nice since his ability works into the beginning of my next turn. And that stopped his leader and the Crisis Suit along with the shield drones that they had moving. It pretty much put in place the Thunder on the Hammerhead, which I don't think it was going to move anyway, but he didn't want to risk it. And that was about it. While his crew were moved up, I rolled for coming out of cover. I rolled a 6 with my wolves. I moved rolled a 6 on my fleet, and I charged the crew. I wasn't so sure exactly how devastating the Thunder Wolves were going to be, and I'm basically just pretty much judging my opinion on the first and only time I've played them, but they are freaking miraculous. I came in, I wiped a whole damn unit of crew. I mean, the guy with Thunderhammer, of course, struck last, and he did get one wound on him, which was just bad rolling on my part. But the Thunder Wolves wiped out that unit. My Thunder Wolves consolidated, actually 6. I mean, this is no trick dice. This is the way it happened. Consolidated 6 inch closer up a hill and towards his leader in the Hammerhead. His second turn, he had some type of guidance system or crap on his stealth suit team. And with the radius of Najel's Stormcaller's ability, he couldn't put him as close as he wanted because they were to count as coming in a difficult and dangerous train because they have jump packs. So he put him on the outskirts of this radius. Didn't do much with him. He shot at unit Grey Hunters. The middle unit Grey Hunters didn't do anything. He hit by made the saves. He, at this time, he was pretty much frustrated and scared of the Thunder Wolf. So he didn't do much moving. I mean, the crew were dead, and the Fire Warriors on my left flank were actually in a bunker, or like Foxhole, the Games Workshop little thing, with all his handbags. He fired, killed a couple more. He reduced my unit to 5 on the left side, left flank. No wounds were done to the middle unit. He fired with his Hammerhead and his Tau leader again, and this Crisis team failed epically with all the shots again. I mean, he... Well, I was just saying, with the Hammerhead shots, he drifted off every time. He had, like, crazy drifting. So it's not like he failed. I mean, he did, but he didn't roll bad, I guess. Anyway, so they were safe for the turn. And he was, you know, of course, there was some smack talking about how his Tau leader was going to, you know, you sure you want to charge him? I know you're going to come because you're going to have to deal with a Hammerhead, or you're going to have to deal with a Tau leader, and he's going to end up killing you. And I was just like, I don't know. I haven't played a new Tau Codex. Maybe he had something tricky. But he, like I said, he dwindled down the Grey Hunters on the left flank, didn't do nothing to the middle, and Thunder Wolves charged the leader. And, of course, I rolled the same exact thing with Najal Stormcaller, and I didn't actually, I forgot to cast the psychic abilities. I just did. I'm new to having a psyker, and the model is so cool. So basically, up to this point, I'm just wasting a 200-point model. Really on nothing, but he was intimidating and awe-inspiring and gorgeous out there. Well, this time, he was just like, oh, you sure you want to sit there? You want to charge my unit of Fire Warriors in the bunker? And I was just like, well, no, well, I'm not sure, so... I contemplated it for a minute, so I went ahead to the middle unit, and I charged this, I didn't charge them, I just, he was in rapid fire range, is where his, stealth suit team was, so with my middle unit of Grey Hunters, I just opened up and decimated that unit. Najal Stormcaller on this turn did do the lightning bolt thing, tried to crack, he had a, side armor shot with the living lightning, so I tried it, didn't do nothing to Hammerhead. Brian had one stealth suit warrior at the end of that, so he fell back and started falling back for his unit of in the bunker. He actually put some shield drones in the way, so I had shot the shield drones first as I advanced to get closer to the fire warriors in the bunker. And Thunderwolf cavalry, and then they did what I think they're supposed to do. They went forward and they just slaughtered the freaking hell out of the Tau leader and the Battlestew company with the shield drones. He had some, I killed, ended up killing the one guy's bodyguard that had like the blow up. If he runs, he blows up or something. He had no chance to run. He just died. And then when my advancement took me to the side of the hammerhead, that was my turn. Looking good for me. I have stealth suits down to, you know, just one guy. And full unit of Grey Hunters in the middle, and it's y'all hanging out. Thunderwolf cavalry just with one model. Pretty decent. And his unit quivering in a bunker waiting for the inevitable. On my turn, I moved up my space force on my left flank. Moved over to the left side, the Grey Hunters in the middle towards the Tau in the bunker, because I didn't know if five guys were just going to be enough to crack them. Silly. Then Thunderwolf cavalry charged the Hammerhead. Shooting phase, and Zhao tried the Living Lightning again. Failed again. His storm power was pretty much almost the same thing as what was before, but it was like one over. I shot at the well, I didn't shoot at the stealth suit because I was hoping to be in charge range with the middle unit Grey Hunters, which I was. So shooting phase, that was about it. So I haven't rolled to get my scouts up yet. I have rolled, but I failed. Thunderwolf charged the Hammerhead. Both units charged the Tau unit. Basically, no more Tau. I can go into it in this big old epic fight, but the Space Wolves just gang raped the Tau that were in the bunker, howled a lot, and drank some beer when they were done. The Thunderwolf cavalry, they failed on all their penetrations to actually damage the Hammerhead. It was quite upsetting. And that was my turn. Brian's next turn, moved the Hammerhead away, went to go take a big old template shot at a big old massed unit of Space Wolves, drifted over. In his turn, the stealth suit guy ran off the table. Fourth turn, Space Wolf scouts, they showed up. He conceded. He had a Hammerhead and a unit of Thunderwolves near the rear that, well, first of all, I don't know why he was worried, because I couldn't freaking hit anything, but I guess I did have the plasma pistol, so he thought I was going to charge, you know, get some more shots that way. My scouts came on the left flank, out of charge range for anything, and then Zhao was there, hanging out, singing his windy song. Didn't do much. Took another Living Lightning and failed. And the game was conceded, so Space Wolves, except for the Hammerhead, if we would have went the full six turns, I could have tabled them, but didn't. So that was my first game with the new Space Wolves, and I was quite happy with it, I suppose. Well, suppose a win is a win, and I guess if you're going to win, you should be happy. So that was my weeks in Warhammer, and it's been a little bit 40K-centric, but we'll get to that reason in a little bit. So what we'll do here is we'll take a short little break, and we'll come back with our first segment, and I think we'll go over the Dark Eldar. All right, talk to you in a moment.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Port Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web, at www.coolcitygames.com.
Well, I am back, and here we are with a little bit more Dark Eldar. Maybe this will be the last, I don't know. But what I would like to call this little section, well, I'm not going to call it, but the Dark Eldar book is the same as I would call when the Storm of Chaos book came out for Warhammer. It's the Christmas Day Army. And what that means is, you wake up in the morning, you run your tree or whatever religion that you follow, or you open up your gifts, and bam, you got these new toys. Now, these new toys are basically, you know, like the old Power Rangers. They're the newest and best, and no one wants any of the older sets. They just want the new. They want the new. Warhammer and Warhammer 40K follow to that. But never in my experiences of Wargamer, playing Games Workshop games, has this act of, I don't know, new army syndrome actually has come down to as much as anything as with the race of Dark Elves or Dark Eldar. I mean, it doesn't matter. Dark Elf, period. Whether it be 40K or Fantasy, it seems to be, the, in my opinion, around my local gaming area, that people just jump on the, bam, Dark Eldar, they're going to be great. Dark Elf, they're going to be great. And Games Workshop, really, in the rules setting for both editions, the new Dark Eldar and the new Dark Eldar Army book, they do not disappoint. There's some tricks in there, and neither of these armies really are for the new player. They can be. So if you're listening to this and you think about playing Dark Eldar, my opinion is, play what you like. If you like the way the new Dark Eldar look, you like the story, you like the whole, as you can tell from the beginning, the whole Hellraiser theme of the army, you play it. But they're not for the new player, in most parts, but they are seem to have that new, like I said, the new army syndrome, which allows you to run it through and people get a hang of how the army plays and how to handle it. Now, unfortunately, with both armies compared to everything in 40K, they had the most and newest toys that no one's seen before or their race has never seen. And today we're going to be going over the whole pain, power from pain, an aspect of the army that if I actually start a Dark Eldar army, this is how I'm gonna work it. There's a lot of coolness in this army book. The leader that I'm picking is not my favorite leader, but it allows me to actually play, I think, the troop choices that are going to benefit best in this type of speed beat army. That's what I'm gonna call it. So let's go through just a couple things, and I know I went through the whole Dark Eldar special rules, but this one, we're going to focus on the power from pain. This allows you to get a pain token on a unit or a character if they finish off an enemy unit completely to gain a pain token. Now, some Dark Eldar units will actually start with a pain token, and this is pretty important, too. And these pain tokens are accumulative. We have the pain token number 1 gives your unit a feel no pain. Pain token number 2, you gain fearless charge, and 3 or more, you gain fearless. Now, this is going to play an account big effect, because what we're going to do is, the units we're going to be focusing on today more than anything are the Rax, the Grotesques, not really so much Mandrakes, but and the Incubi, but they're in my idea. But it's going to be going around a special character, and one might know him by the name of Urien Rekarth. Probably the most disturbing 40K model I've seen up to date. Fabius Bio was close, but this guy makes him look like he should be teaching a children's show on Nickelodeon. Okay, so we're going to deal with what I like to call the Hellraiser units. And so we'll go through and we'll go through those units first. Then I'll explain the other things that I'm, my ideas. And if you feel this is wrong and you feel that, you know, Sean, that's not going to work, why don't you try this instead? Please, I am open for discussion about this, and I'm not going to beat anyone down. So here we go first. We have the Rax. What these are tormented Dark Eldar that do this because they want to, I guess this is the initiation step of becoming a Humiculi or Homunculi. So they become basically the servants of the main guy, whether you take the special character or not. My army does work around the special character. It's pretty descriptive what the hell these things are. It's pretty cool on the pictures. They can do a lot with these, and hopefully they do them justice. I'd like to see a plastic set of these models. So they are not out yet, but they'd be pretty cool. And I'll be going through. Let me see. I'll go through a cross-reference so I'm not confusing myself or anybody else. Okay, these are an elite choice. 10 points per model. Now, you're wondering, he's going to do a whole elite choice for army, you know? Which is like, well, yes and no. When you take Urien Rakarth, Raks are troop choices in the army, and Grotesque in your same army can be upgraded to a Strength 5 to Strength 6 at cost of 5 points per model. And we'll get there in a moment. So in an army that includes him, these are going to be troop choices. They're running in with Weapon Skill 4, Ballistic Skill 4, Strength 3, Toughness 4, 1 Wound, 4 Initiative, 1 Attack, Leadership 8, and Save of 6+. Now, I know that's not great for initiative and stuff. A lot of times they'll be striking same as I believe as a Marine. But these guys are sporting 2 points in weapons. They have Gnarl Skin, which is, I'm assuming, if I would read, is just their armor. They have Night Vision and Power from Pain. Also, they have an altered physique. So, Pain Racks, Constant Companion. Pain is the Racks' Constant Companion, sorry. And the Racks begin the game with a Pain Token. So, these guys start the game with Feel No Pain. And so that's pretty handy. You're coming out with a Strength 4. You know, he's only got 6+ save. But, and these guys here, they actually can be put in a Raider or a Venom. So that's going to play an important part, too. Next up, we have the Grotesques. These are, usually these are people that piss off somebody, and they end up becoming a rack, and they have to suffer through all this torment and stuff at the joy and everything of the Humiculi. That's what reminds me of, you know, the whole Pinhead. Anyway, these guys have a Weapon Skill 4, 1 Ballistic Skill, 5 Strength, 5 Toughness, 3 Wounds, Initiative 4, 3 Attacks, Leadership 3, and 6+ Save. Now remember, with the addition of the special character, they're going up to a 6 Strength for 5 points per model. That's if you want it. These have Gnarl Skin. They're infantry. They have close combat weapon. They do have night vision and power from pain. They also do have the altered physique, giving them a pain token to start the game with, which is nice because there you go. You got the you start with feel no pain. So, for special rules beyond that, they have a Berserker Rampage, which is a unit, does not include an independent character at the beginning of the movement phase. And it's very important that you probably do this. Let me double check on, well, we'll get this. You roll a d6. On a roll of 1, the Grotesque go on a rampage, inflicting 2d6, strength 5, or strength 6, if you upgrade them. On all units within 2d6, friend or foe, before removing them from play. Vehicles are head on their side armor. If a 2+ was rolled, the Grotesque act as normal. So we're all good. Grotesque are lumbering and distorted meat devils that make for highly unpleasant company. Each Grotesque unit counts as 2 models for purposes of transport capacity. And, boys and girls, these guys are, let me get to it, such a noob. See, I should sing some music for you guys. Oh, sorry, these guys are elites, and they can be in the Raider as well. For unit upgrades for both of these, let's see. One rack can be up for a rack. could be upgraded to a Cuthalist, which is like a Nullivus or something. He may take a Stinger Pistol, Venom Blade, Mind Phase Gauntlet, Hex Rifle, Scissor Hand, Flesh Gauntlet, Agonizer, or Electro Corrosive Whip. There's a lot of things you can take on the leader on this one. And for the Grotesques, you may exchange... One Grotesque may exchange his close combat weapon for a liquefier gun at 10 points. Character options. One Grotesque may be upgraded to Aberration. Aberration may take a Venom Blade, Mind Phase Gauntlet, Scissor Hands, or Flesh Gauntlet. Not too shabby. Gives you a little bit of having some range, but we're really focusing. These are going to be hand-to-hand units. And because listening to other podcasts and stuff, they're out there and they're like, oh man, this guy... These Dark Eldar, they're fast, they're quick, they're fast, they're deadly, but they're only Toughness 3. And they're right. Toughness 3 with shitty armor. Excuse my French. But, so, you got your witches. Everyone dropping in witches. You know, they got to deal with the fastness. But there's ways to get around the fast quickness of the army. You know, everything's got poison. So, that's good for the witches and stuff. But, the thing is, they're going to... Good template shots, good hand-to-hand units, such as like Thunderwolf Cavalry or Death Company. They're going to make short work out of them. So what I'm thinking about doing is running two units. I mean, two different types of units that are going to be the crux of my assault, my army. And these are going to be the Racks and the Grotesques. Now what's nice is for HQs, I'm going to run a Homunculus or Homunculus Agent as well as a special character. Throw him in with on Grotesque, and he has Altered Physique as well, so he'll have a Pain Token. And combining the Pain Token with the Grotesque, that'll jump your power from Pain up to Furious Charge and Feel No Pain. So this is just an idea. Both of these units, I'm going to take two units of Racks. There'll be troop choices. One unit of Grotesque. All three of these units and a Raider. Of course, with, you know, the Dark Lance upgrade that you can take and everything. Give them a little bit of a, you know, take out some tanks if you need to. We're going on to the Psycho Sociopath guy that's going to lead my army. Now, unfortunately, I would not, if I'm limited to only using one special character in an army, I would really like to take Lilith Hesperax. Because I think she could fit really basically about anywhere. But I want that on the Racks as a troop choice, so I picked Urien. He's sporting 3 attacks, leadership 9, ballistic skill, weapon skill 5, strength 3, but he's got toughness 5. He's you know, that brand above was a little bit harder. He's got a close combat weapon, gnarl skin, casket of flensing, and clone field. And you know, we'll go through and you know, he's got some pretty cool stuff. He's got the Ichor Gauntlet, which can inject his venoms with boiling ichor. Counts as a Flesh Gauntlet, but it's a poison weapon 3+. So, I mean, it doesn't matter what you got for toughness. He's got wound gen 3. So, he's pretty cool. He's got Night Vision, Power from Pain, independent character. He's got Meld the Flesh. He automatically heals a single wound at the beginning of each of his turns, and his body stitches itself back together, but he can't exceed the starting value. So what we have here is auto regen, so he's kind of like, you know, he's a Wolverine type thing, so he can take that wound. I don't know if I'd put all my wounds on him, but that spare wound that comes through, or whatever, you know, if someone shoots at a unit that he might be in, yeah, go ahead and put it on him, because beginning of your turn, you're going to get it back, no loss. He's also the Father of Pain. he begins the game with a Pain Token. Furthermore, the rivers represent his flesh crafting. You choose D3 units at the beginning of the game. They must be Rack or Grotesque units. Each of these units gain a Pain Token. Okay. So right then and there, he allows Racks to be troop choices. He can upgrade your Grotesques. He has an ability to make up to 3 units. Gain additional Pain Token. With a Homunculi lesser, basically, guy in the unit of Grotesques, you can take your started game, even before it begins, and anyone gets any power from Pain with a share of Pain and everything, you can have a unit of Fuel No Pain, Furious Charge, Fearless, Rax, or Grotesque on the board. It's pretty hot and sexy right there. I mean, this guy, he wouldn't be bad to throw with the Grotesques as well, with his regeneration and his three attacks. Counts as having two close combat weapons in the charge, so he's going in for six, wounding on three. Strength three, yeah, but let's see. I mean, so he's pretty cool. Now, another thing that opens up this option, too, is there's a whole war gear section. It's only available for Humaculi and their minions. And it's pretty cool. You can go through and you can have all this handy stuff. You know, you got the Dark Gate, which is one shot, large blast, assault one, strength 10, and you know, it's a nice little twist. You can have the regular war gear, you can have the upgraded war gear, you have Rax and Grotesques as your stormtrooper units, I would like to call them. Now, like I said, this is only the beginning of my army. This is what I'm going to base everything about. I bought a unit of Hellions, and I'm liking them. So if I go with it, my Hellions are going to be my shock troops of the army. I mean, I know the other ones are going to be the shock troops, but they're going to I'm going to max out probably two units of Hellions. I like the jump infantry. I like that how they can move around stuff. The grappling independent characters out of units. And what I plan to do is use that to rip out units to drag them closer to my heavier units of Grotesque and Rax, so I can come in with my higher strength and toughness and beat on those units. Get another pain token, plus you can distribute a pain token if your special characters join other units. And the dirty trick is once you get a unit of Grotesque on the other side of the board, especially if you're playing a Horde army, you get them Grotesque on the other side, and I believe if you just move your independent character away, you're hoping just for that fail. You know, he's done his job, he can join another unit, he takes his pain tokens with him, he can give them to another unit to benefit somebody else, maybe a unit of witches, if you do take witches for your shock troops. Because, of course, you can't join your Hellions. So, and maybe the Grotesque go berserk on, and like a contested table quarter or objective. So that's my plan right now. I do plan on probably still getting the Incubi. I don't know how I feel about them so much, because I've always wanted to play with the Harlequins, but I haven't messed with them because, you know, I'm an anti-High Elf, and I know this is 40k, but Eldar are still High Elves. So, but now that the Harlequins, you know, they're kind of like neutral, so they're kind of like your Wood Elf contingent in the 40k universe. So I'm just like, I'm going to play with some of them. So I don't know what I'm going to choose for my other elite choice. And for my heavy is going to fit the whole theme of this army with the pain and everything. And for those of you who have the book, you know what I'm going to say. The Talos Pain Engine. I'm going to take one to maybe two of these as my heavy support. Probably one. Because with the Void Raven Bomber and my Razor Wing Jet Fighter, if I choose to get a little bit of fastness in there and add some freaking real hit to this army that I'm thinking about lacking a lot of... It's going to be lacking firepower. It's going to be more assault-centric army compared to a shoot-you-in-the-face army. So, you know, a jet fighter or a bomber might fill that role. And under 200 points, it's not too bad as a fast-moving... I want to stay away from Reavers with this army for a couple of reasons. If I go all hog wild on this army, eventually it's going to be a witch army. Going to Reavers and witches and with Lilith Hesperax and stuff. So I don't want to do that. Second of all, the Reavers are expensive. $35 for three... Even if they release a Razor Wing or Void Raven Bomber in the near future, and it's $60, it's a better value, I think, for money than buying two or three units of Reavers until I need them. So, but the Talos Pain Engine. The reason I'm going with this, I already got access for one for like $10. Let's start there. It's crudely painted, but I can work with it. This guy, he's got night vision, powers from pain, fearless, moves through cover, and he's got random attacks. He has strength 7, toughness 7, 3 plus save, 5 plus weapon skill, 3 plus ballistic skill, monstrous creature, armored carapace, close combat weapon, twin link, splinter cannon. He can upgrade one of his weapons to a twin link liquefier gun, which is a gun that's a flame temple that works on your toughness, I mean, your leadership, but the AP, I believe, I could be wrong. Let me look at it. A core injector, chain flails. He can take an additional close combat weapon for 15 points. He can replace his twin link splinter cannon with one of the following: twin linked haywire blaster, twin linked heat lance, or stinger pod. This guy's gonna be. He's gonna be out there. He's gonna, you know, he's gonna be slowly lurking behind everybody, but he's gonna be the cream, you know, not the cream of the crop, but he's gonna be, you know, he will be there to finish up what I can't do. And with his ability, I can move on if I choose not to run after a unit that's wounded and I got that closer. Talos Pain Engine, go in, finish him off, get the pain token. So my whole thing is pain with this army. It's about getting the pain tokens and causing pain. That's my thought. If anyone has any ideas for this army or things that you think I should take, you know, well, this is an idea for the army, instead of one thing or the other, you just let me know. You can get a hold of me at SeanHammers@yahoo.com. More than willing to test with any ideas. Right now I'm using Space Marines, Ogrins, and Dark Elf models from Fantasy to represent, so I can play a few games testing this. I think I can make the army look grisly. I can make it look horrible. And I'll be honest with you. There is a psychological effect of having scary-looking models on the table. I don't care what anyone says. If you make something look nasty, like I had seen, I made a Demon of Slaanesh for a buddy of mine. I've seen, and he's got the old Dark Eldar guy chained up like Hellraiser. I mean, it's funny. I'll try and get a picture of that, too. I mean, I did this years ago. But I've seen people shoot at another demon. I mean, shoot at that demon rather than another demon or unit that was more tooled up to do stuff because that model looked meaner. And this army allows you to do this. So this army allows for a lot of customizations, no matter which way you go. You make things look mean, look important. And that's what I'm going to do. So, let's go ahead. I'm not going to take a break, and we'll get into, that's done for a 40K section. And there's good, and we'll get into the fantasy section. There's a lot of reason why there hasn't been a lot of fantasy talk lately on SeanHammer. For one, was the inclusion of the new Dark Angels and Blood Angels and Dark Eldar books right after the Space Wolves, right after the Imperial Guard, right after the Ultramarines movie, which I forgot to put on. I ordered, and mine is coming Monday. So I'm hoping to have a screening at the local hobby store showing some people the new Ultramarines movie, and hopefully it'll be a blast. So anyway. So there's a lot of 40K going on. There is a lot. We got the Bastions. We got the whatchamacallit, the scenery packs with the statues. Planet Strike. I mean, there has not been a lot of fantasy with the exception of 8th Edition. There's been no new 8th Edition army books. There was a Beastman before that. There was a Skaven before that. Then 8th Edition came out. Now, I was listening to Podhammer the other day. And like I said, I listened to all of them. And I'd like to tell the guys from Podhammer they're doing a great job. Same with the guys from 40K Radio. But they brought up something that really irks me. Okay. Is this ETC. Now, ETC doesn't bother me. You know, if you want to go play ETC tournament, I understand that. Sometimes you have to have compensation rules. I mean, things aren't fair in Warhammer and Warhammer 40K. They just aren't. I'm okay with it. Now, what gets me riled up with ETC, in this case, is usually ETC rectifies army books and restrictions. or codexes in the case of 40K. And I get those. They went through this year and they got the ETC for the 2011 for Warhammer Fantasy Battles. Now, like I said, up to this date, there has not been an official 8th edition Warhammer army book released. So all the old army books are working on 7th or 6th. They come out and they do a ETC comp for 2011, based mainly on the renditions and the clarifications and the rule changes in the core complement, the rule book. This does upset me. Okay, because the core rule book is the core rule book. Whether or not your army fits to order or not, or you think it fits the tournament play, is regardless. I don't like major composition system based on the rule book. Because what this does, this takes game organizers that run leagues, kind of like the GWL, the Great Lakes Warhammer League, whatever it is here in Michigan. They will adapt certain things out of the ETC, so we'll adapt the con. Let me get my words on. So you, whether or not you're overplaying an ETC tournament, you have to deal with the ramifications of their rulings. Now, when they were going through some certain things, it kind of ticked me off. I mean, when I heard this, it was a month or two ago, when I was like, Jesus Christ, the Warhammer 8th Edition rulebook only came out in July, I think, and I'm hearing this in September, and you're already thinking about a comp system for it? So, I don't know. This is where I am at, so I'm just going to go through some of the rule changes very quick to go over and let you guys let me know what you think. Send me your ideas and your thoughts about the ETC and why it's good, why it's bad. If you're a game organizer for a league, why you would run this, what you feel needs to be comped out of the rule book rather than army books. That's where I'm going at. Like I said, I don't hate the ETC. I don't hate the ETC rulings on army book restrictions or codex restrictions. But when you comp a system, the main rule system, I kind of feel that there's a lot of negative ramifications that can happen throughout smaller leagues and tournaments along the way. Okay. Rule changes. Steadfast is removed if a unit is disrupted. Don't know how I feel about that. Units with at least one full rank cause disruption. Characters will get lookout serve versus the following spells that automatically kill models or automatically remove entire regiments. Dwellers Below, Final Transmutation, Joy the 13th, Infernal Gateway. I like that one. I will say which ones I like. We have general restrictions, 2,400 points. That's cool. No special or named characters. Living with it. I don't like that for 40K. I like the one rule for 40K, but for fantasy, that's fine. Armies can be selected from any of the current published Games Workshop army books. Maximum of 4 identical core choices may be taken regardless of equipment or other upgrades. I do not know how I feel about this. To sit there and say, okay, Warhammer went from core choices and such to core choices, but instead of 1 for this, 2 for this, etc., etc., it goes on to percentages. To sit there and say you can't take a maximum of identical core choices, why not? I mean, you're going to tell me, let's say, I want to play a High Elf army. Let's say I want to play 5 units of Spearmen, like I would ever play High Elves, but let's say I want to. And I want to have my units of, my elite choices. Alright, I'm sorry about that. A little telephone call. So I don't know how I feel about that. The maximum of 5 war machines may be taken an army. Okay, a little bit better. That's a little bit more easier to understand than the 4 identical core choices. This is what upsets me. This is what made me upset most of all. Okay, I don't get it. I haven't played a lot of games of Warhammer 8th Edition yet. So someone can please understand me. I understand where I'm coming from. What you want to send in, give me an email. Let me know. Non-infantry units, including monstrous infantry. You have a maximum of 12 models per unit. Okay, now we're going to limit the size of the units you can have. We have infantry costing 5 points or less. Maximum 40 models per unit. Infantry costing 6 to 9 points. Maximum 30. So, You know, I was just again, infantry costing 10 points or more, maximum 24 models. Why? A lot of the newest rendition of 8th edition is including hordes and stuff and working on maximum size units. If you go into a tournament or a league and you want to take, I don't know, 30 10-point models. If the other guy doesn't, oh well, why are we restricting the maximum numbers models per unit that have no maximum numbers models generally? I don't get it. That's my big complaint so far. We have magic restrictions. Apart from Winds of Magic and Channeling, armies may not generate 2 per dice, magic phase, whatever. You may have units that actually would generate more than 2 extra dice, but any excess dice are lost. So magic items, abilities, counts generating dice towards this limit. Counts as items may never exceed the cumulative 2 whatever. This means that if you take Power Scroll, you may not have any other item that counts as PD/DD. All power dice to spell dice. Alright, next up we have item restrictions. Power Scrolls count as generating 2 power dice each magic phase. Each Lore Master ability counts as generating 1. Items that auto-dispel count as generating 1 dispel dice. And Folding Fortress is not allowed. I don't know. You know, it's just like, you want to spend 100 points on a Folding Fortress, you should be able to spend a fucking 100 points on Folding Fortress. After that, we have army specific restrictions. We are not going to go, well, I'm not going to worry about that because I'm used to this. Like, Trebuchet, 0-1 choice. Hydra, 0-1 choice. You know, I get that. I get all that. And that was a restriction so far for the ETC. I don't mind restrictions. Like I said, I get the limits on War Machines and Hydras and such units like that. But I don't get army-specific clarifications and compensations. So, I don't know how I feel about it. I think it affects smaller tournaments and leagues in a negative light. Because a lot of times the people that won't put together leagues are the people who, well, let's be honest, people who put together leagues and such like that and ETC rules, they care compared to the player who just wants to go and play. And there's a lot of things you can do about it. A player who doesn't wish to have certain compensations like that could go ahead and say, well, I'm going to start my own league and not do it. Are you going to get people following you? I don't know, but you've got those people that want to play by the ETC that keep up, you know, I don't know. So, that's just a little bit my thought on the ETC so far. And like I said, a lot of it I'm not upset about, but I don't know how I feel about clarification on rulebook-specific rules. I mean, you want my big clarification in ETC? If I was part of the committee, I would take away that Speed of Atherion for the High Elves because I think it's totally broken. They can, you know, don't get me on this. I've gone over High Elves before and how I think it sucks. But that's just my opinions. If you got any questions, comments, or disagreements that you want to send to me, I'm open for, you know, talk about this, you know. I mean, change my mind if you want. Agree with me if you want. Get a hold of me at SeanHammer, the number 9, at yahoo.com. Leave me iTunes reviews, people. Please, I got another contest coming up. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. Got some Eldar to give away. Not Dark Eldar. Maybe. Might have a box of Harlequins. I'm not sure. I got some 40k novels to give away. I have lining up another appearance by a Black Library author. And yeah, you want something said on a show, you email it and you say, give me the subject shout out. And I'll say if it's necessary on the show. Because today I have my own shout out. My shout out goes to a friend of mine, avid listener, great person to be with, Andrew Becker. And also, I'm calling you out, Becker. You have exactly, I would say, until mid-December, me and you, 1,500 points, but whatever you want to bring, 40K, against my Space Wolves. We'll bring it, boy. And if you don't do this, the world will know that you backed out of this. So there you go, Becker. There's your call out. Get your ass ready. All right, guys. And remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game, and I'll see you next time.
I saw the dark you crying. I saw